Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
Show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're listening to the voice of an entire nation. You're listening to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, who has come to us this day and granted us a mercy and a blessing and granted us greatness in the personage of his last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all, in both their names with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalamJournal.com and SalamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram's 1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. And my beloved, all of you, we're about to go into the show, lurking into the shadows. Brothers and sisters, I'd like for you all to pray for my nephew and pray for my family as we go through these trying times. And all praise is due to Allah. Prayer changes a lot of things, brothers and sisters. Let's go into the show. Lurking in the shadows. Brothers and sisters, the reason that I came up with the name for this show is because no matter what we're doing today, the devil is lurking in the shadows. He's in the shadow of your mind, in the shadow of your heart, and you can see it by your actions, by the tone of your voice and how you handle people. We who are Muslims, who should have learned the proper way of handling people, do not properly handle people, and we oftentimes resort to our uncivilized days when dealing with people. We are all victims of this. That is because the devil has not been removed 100% completely out of us. And he's causing trouble and division, murder and death, wickedness and sickness, hatred and animosity, jealousy and envy towards each other where there should not be. You know, in a civilized world, when we're dealing with each other, even if we don't agree 100%, we can agree to disagree with the proper education. That's what scientists do. That's what civilized people do. Today, we have become more savage than before we have received knowledge. Why is that? Because the devil's mind, his ways, and his actions has been ingrained in us. And no matter what we're trying to do, we see the devil is still lurking in the shadows of our lives because of the way we deal with each other, the way we speak to each other, the way we look at each other. That nigga can't tell me nothing. Oh, that ain't nothing new. I know that. And you're scheming, lying, trying to do everything but righteousness. But this is the day of qualifications. This is the day that we're all being tried and being purified for the new world. Brothers and sisters, this is a great day and a great time. You know, as I was studying the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, there's a lot of things that came to mind because I've been reading theology, really rereading Theology of Time, and really rereading Our Savior Has Arrived and How to Eat to Live. I've really been trying to grasp some of the teachings, the underlying teachings of what Messenger Muhammad is talking about. And brothers and sisters, the change that we are praying for the God to make in us, he gives us the wisdom to produce that change within ourselves. But some of us, we stunt our growth, our spiritual growth. And some of us, we stunt our progression as a people because we are refusing to let go of the devil's ways, actions, thoughts, and mannerisms. You can't put new wine in old wineskin, as the Jesus says, lest the wineskin break and the wine spill out. You got to make a choice. You can't straddle the fence today because everything is going to hell in a handbasket. And no matter where you look, the devil is lurking in the shadows. And we've got to pull him out and expose him for all the world to see. You hear me out here talking to you, brothers and sisters. The reason the devil is going mad around the globe is because his world is coming to an end. I don't care what rosy scenario they give you on the news, on the internet, on radio, in magazines, in the newspaper. The devil and his world is in fast decline, and all of the signs are showing you this. And even when they admit that everything is bad, they'll say, well, we are expecting such and such, or we're hopeful, or we are positive about such and such. Yeah, but your positivity does not reflect the reality of the situation and the time. So we don't want your opinion. We want facts, because in this day and time, the thing that will save us or put us on the road to salvation is factual. We want actual facts and not your opinion, because your opinion put us in hell. You thought that if you would keep us here, you could destroy us. But our God, being all-powerful and an awesome God, had already planned to save us long before you brought us to the shores of North America. And now you see your economic system imploding. You see your political weight around the world waning. You see your geostrategic positions being pushed back. So you are waging war because you know everything lies on a house of cards. And all of the cards, all of the dominoes are starting to fall. And brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to this. This is globally, but specifically about America. Because remember, I don't care what they point to. They'll say, well, Japan's GDP is such and such, and we're looking at hyperinflation or massive deflation and this and this, and Japan will never reinflate their economy. This may be true. And they'll say Japan is in worse condition than America. I don't think so. Why? Because a lot of the debt that is held by the Japanese and the Chinese. China holds a lot of Japan's debt also. Now, China, you hear them talk about the Chinese housing market is about to implode. All right? Let's just give them that. All right? Let's just say, okay, you're right about that. But China holds your debt. Do you think if my house is in danger of repossession and your house is in danger of repossession and I hold the keys or the deed to your lockbox with money, do you think I'm going to bail me out first and let you fall, or bail you out first and let me fall, right? China holds trillions in U.S. assets, right? So if push comes to shove, self-preservation is the first law of nature. That's the same with Japan. Japan is the second or the third largest holder of U.S. debt. If our economy is in such a bad condition where she cannot continue to float, guess what's going to happen? She's going to be forced into a situation where either she sinks or she swims. She dumps American debt or goes down like the Titanic. The inside of all of this, they are not put into you. Whether you look at ZeroHedge.com, whether you look at Investment Watch blog, whether you look at Alex Jones or whatever you look at, they're not giving you the insight. The devil will give you a certain amount of truth, but then he has to mix it in with his thoughts, his opinion, and his innuendo. And you start taking on that mind frame because you got that from the devil. Well, see, the devil says such as, yes, but we have to process this the right way through the right lenses by the right man. And the right man is Elijah Muhammad. Why do we know this and how do we know this? It's because everything that he has taught us has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled right here before us. Who would have thought decades ago when he said America had no gold and the gold was gone so long that she don't even know what it looked like? Who would have thought in the 21st century that the scientists of the white world would have said the same thing, and America is stealing gold from everybody because she no longer has gold? When Elijah Muhammad taught us about the fishness of nature and how it would be called into action against America, no one would have thought about when that dust storm hit Afghanistan, where America's most vital helicopters were, picked all of them up, slung them a mile away, and they were nothing but rubble. Pick them all up. The wind did what the Taliban could not do. It picked up an entire squadron of attack helicopters and destroyed them. Right? Who would have thought that as America kills us at home and she sends our people abroad, Allah would do this to them? Listen closely. If the devil will allow it to be played. The devil is not allowing it to be played. Oh, brothers and sisters, it's okay. It's okay. But as we're saying, in the typhoon in Japan that just took place, 3 U.S. military officers were swooped away and killed by the torrential rain and wind. Right? You hit us here, God hits you there. You slap us here, God kicks you there. You deprive us of food, God deprives you of your whole breadbasket in the Midwest. Right? You deprive us of a land to our own, God pushes you back within your own borders to have to deal with the invasion of the Mexicans. Right? The violence that is ripping her country apart and the madness that we see on a day-to-day basis. Plague after plague, calamity after calamity. Because God is on the scene today, and this is what the devil does not want you to see. A crash is coming. The whole system is imploding, brothers and sisters, and they cannot get around this. I don't care how they try to mask this. The whole world of the white man is on his way out. And it's a beautiful thing because years ago, you would have never thought these things. What about water on Mars and life on Mars? What are the scientists saying? Right? What are they saying today that Elijah Muhammad didn't say 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago? Huh? What about the sun? What are they saying about the sun? Remember in Theology of Time, the most in-depth lecture that had ever been given by any man according to the white scholars. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us an in-depth teaching on the creation of God himself and how he says that God created himself in the womb of the universe of darkness and water, right? Then they say they found water, more water out in space than it's larger than the size of our entire solar system. How did he know these things? Prior to all of this, see, I'm laying a base for something because I want you to realize that all of these other people out here, all of these other leaders, none of their teachings were as profound as Elijah Muhammad. Not one of their writings could stand the test to what Elijah Muhammad says. And none of you want to accept Elijah because you don't like the package. You take from the teachings, you take the gift, but you rip the packaging up and throw it away as though it did not come wrapped up in that. This man gave us the most comprehensive teachings ever. He brought us face to face and is bringing us face to face with the knowledge of self, God, and the devil. He has warned us of what must be done and should be done in this day and time to save ourselves from an impending explosion and implosion of America and the Anglo world. Remember when Elijah Muhammad was saying these things? America was the undisputed superpower. Remember? Do you remember when he talked about the decline of the dollar, when the dollar was by none, par excellence, around the world? Do you remember that? Do you remember he said that Allah would take America's educational system and lay it low? And once her educational system falls, we can liken it to the fall of the nation, right? What's going on in America's educational system? There are killings every day in school, right? You have to have security guards with M16s on campus. America has dropped from number one in the world to number, 89 in educational standards. She is defunding her elementary and pre-K and junior high and high schools and colleges. And the tuition rate is exorbitant. And even if you were to complete college, you are saddled with so much debt that you could not focus on your profession. Your whole life is spent trying to repay the debt that you had accumulated trying to get an education to help progress your nation, right? We have to look at these things in the right way. Who taught it to us? Huh? None of these black leaders, white, brown, red, yellow, purple, green, orange, or violent leaders had ever taught us the in-depthness of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And now we see them all. When I say them, I'm talking about all of the teachings being made manifest today. And that's why the devil is lurking in the shadows of everything. He's scared of everything now. The book says that Satan would come down with great wrath, knowing he has but a short time. So he has PRISM to spy on you at home and to spy on you abroad, right? He has spy satellites to spy in space and to spy underneath the water. Why? Because he knows that his time is up. He is deploying troops even though his coffers, his treasuries are empty. He is threatening other nations to buy his worthless bonds so that he can surround the same nations that he's threatening if they don't buy his bonds. That's crackhead. I'm going to fight my dope dealer if my dope dealer don't give me a front of crack. That's what America is. She's a crackhead. She's a geopolitical crackhead. And the whole world now sees her because the emperor has no clothes. Allah has lifted up her skirt and showed the nations her shame. And now you see Europe in trouble because they were in with her too. So long as America was the superpower, they were in with her too, right? And now you have confusion and madness everywhere. Why? Because they fornicated with that great whore and they caught an economic venereal disease. And it's burning like hell. All over Europe, you see debt and the threat of default. The book warns you of this day that all who had fornicated with the whore would receive some of the plagues of the whore. That's your Bible. And now the market is crashing and they're going crazy as hell.
We are having significant issues globally in the financial and political system. You can see this now escalating as more and more debt is piling up, choking all of the countries one by one. The weaker countries are falling first, but that will not exclude anyone, because even what the countries recognize as the stronger countries are becoming weaker as the days go on. Let's get into the news right away. What is the world investing in? And you can see back in 1990 and 1992, you had about 19% of that in finance. So if you fast forward to the 2010 to 2012, you're looking at 30% of the investment. So that makes a big, big difference when you're investing in lots of these financial, they call them assets, but I would call them gambling. And essentially what we have is a lot of asset-backed securities, collateralized debt obligations, and so on and so forth. Let's go into what this means. S&P warns Athens nearing default again. And this is brand new information. Yes, of course, they had received multiple bailouts and undoubtedly will need to continue on that for the foreseeable future. This is what happens when you have a system that chokes the country. They set up austerity, and it is pretty obvious that the purpose of the IMF is undoubtedly to strangle the country and steal their assets. So let's get into what I wrote about in my book. You may have seen this before. Essentially what I said specifically, to quote, a second round of bailouts for Greece is needed. And this was obviously written prior to that second bailout. And I also said it just wasn't enough. It will continue. And also, I talk about here the IMF intentionally creating a situation that the country cannot pay back. They create terms that they know specifically they can't pay back. In order to do this, they then sell off the assets of that country to the super elite individuals. It is quite a crime, and this has been going on all around the world in different countries, one by one, and the countries are fighting them off in many cases, but they eventually lose that battle in most times, and that is quite sad news to hear. Putin rules out capital controls as Russian outflows grow. This is what the currency war is all about, and currency games that they play. Out of Bloomberg here, talking about what Putin said, though, he did say that we don't plan to introduce currency restrictions or restrictions on the movement of capital. But, you know, it is quite interesting that you often have them say they're not going to do something right after they intend on doing it. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that. But it is quite interesting to watch what's happening out of Russia, and particularly at the same time, you know, because they are putting these sanctions on Russia, and it is quite crippling to the economy in many ways. But Putin is definitely suggesting that nothing is happening at the moment. We'll see what has to happen. Only time will tell. And then we go into this, 1938 cost of living. Because all of these games that they're playing with the sanctions, with the bailouts, with the bail-ins, of course, these are all games they're playing with a currency. And we know, undoubtedly, that a currency is devalued over time. Why? Because they're set up in such a way that they need to print more and more money, causing this debasement of the currency. All of the empires have done this. Rome did it, Athens did it, and everyone else had done it because they get greedy. They take their gold coins and they water them down with copper and cheap metals, and of course it debases the coinage. That's what they did. They're doing the same thing now. Look at this 1938 cost of living, and just, you know, some amazing things. A new car, $860. Average rent per month is $27. Now that's a dinner at a half decent restaurant and a movie ticket, 25 cents each. I mean, you're talking about so far gone, it's a joke at this point. This is out of Street Talk Live, showing you the economic versus earnings growth, projections versus reality. I just wanted to show you this. Look at the financial crisis bubble, how the estimate trajectory financial crisis, how that was going up. They said, look, this is going to go booming forever and ever. And of course, a large spike downward. And look at the estimate trajectory currently taking place. That's on the right. You can see the red dotted line where they're estimated to go. And based on what I've seen historically, the quicker it escalates, the quicker the collapse will be, the more violent the collapse will be. It's going to be very deep, and you can see that taking place right now before our very eyes. If they do increase interest rates, if they do actually pull out of the system and allow that crutch to be taken out, you're going to have a big, big fall. And this right here is something that, you know, I mentioned at the beginning. Jobs added by industry, and you can see this. Professional business services, a lot of the temporary help. That is the primary source of the jobs that are being added. This is all false. Look at how terrible this is when you're having these individuals who consistently need to reapply for positions, and they do this intentionally so that the job numbers, they continue to say, we have created 100,000 new jobs this month, 100,000 new jobs this month. And then they consistently say this only because they're continuously firing and rehiring people. That's the way they play these games. Where's the money going? It's going into things like this. This is something about the war, and I just wanted to mention this, that Obama said specifically, look, we are going to take every single precaution not to kill innocent civilians. And then they later state, the Obama administration admits, that for what they're doing with Iraq and Syria to kill ISIS, they are not going to apply that policy. They're just going to go ahead. And of course, they already found out that they've murdered innocent civilians. And this is terrible. This is exactly what our money is going to be used for consistently. The military-industrial complex owns all of this, and they need to create havoc in these countries to have a reason for the public over here to be in fear. That's how this works.
That's how it works. They have to have what everything else is failing them. And so they go back to the age-old trick of making war, and making war in Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and all around the globe. What would thou place, what would thou make except that which would cause mischief and the shedding of blood? The white man, ever since he has been on the planet, has fought wars. You know, I was listening to something that was going on yesterday as I'm speaking on this war thing. And so Leon Panetta, who is a Jew and used to be with Clinton and who used to be with Obama, said that Obama was cowering away from the fight against ISIS by pulling out the troops from Iraq. See, this, brothers and sisters, this is what they do. They'll try to put pressure on the person to put more troops in, but the person that they're putting pressure on has already talked to them behind the scenes to do this so that they would have justification to do what they're doing. All of them are washing each other's hands in the back. But back to Leon Panetta. He says that this war that will take place against ISIS in the Middle East, North Africa, will take 30 years. What's significant about 30? We'll go back in time. We're going to go back to George W. Bush as president. When he was president and he allowed the false flag attack of 9/11 on America, and he gave a speech. He said that this is a crusade. This is what he said. Right? Now let's rewind it a little bit further. Back in time, when the Muslims prevented the Christians from taking the tomb of Jesus and from sacking Jerusalem, what was that called? The Crusades, right? Because they were intent on, the Christians were intent on sacking Jerusalem and taking the tomb of Jesus, or taking the body of Jesus. But our valiant Muslim brothers fought like hell to defend the tomb of Jesus and the body of Jesus over there, right? And so for 30 years, the Christians could not prevail. And a truce was put into place, right? Fast forward it to today. Mr. Leon Panetta says that the fight against ISIS and Islam, that's what he says, would take 30 years. This is Crusades 2.0. Are you listening? I hope you are, because this is what this is about. This is about the war on Islam. And so they're using their false flag puppets to do what they do. They are making it look as though Islam is the aggressor, when in fact, it is America's stooges who are. We'll go to Theology of Time before we play another clip, since we're on this. I think it's chapter 41. Brothers and sisters, Listen to this. Well, first we'll go back to chapter 40. And this is what Elijah Muhammad says in the beginning. It's called the angry world. Not the calm world, not the rational world, not the loving world, not the sophisticated world, but the angry world. And in the first part or first paragraph of this chapter 40, which coincides with the 40 years that Elijah has been gone, and the 40 years of the black men carrying in the wilderness here in modern Egypt, which is America, we see that he put a chapter called the angry world, which represents what would be taking place in this 40-year period of time, the angry world. He says, the rapid spread of evil over the people is the manifestation of what is in the world that is called Christianity. He's talking about what's going on right now. Right? The great spread of both evil and filth is staggering in the eyes of Allah and the righteous. The Holy Quran teaches us to fear a day when evil is spreading far and wide. The resurrection of the mentally dead black people brings about the anger of those, the white man, who put the black man to mental death. Both people are angry, the black slave and the slave master. The lack of justice to the black man, black slave, is the cause of this anger, right? Allah himself is bringing these things to pass because it is time that the mentally dead so-called Negro and the black people all over the earth should rise, right? This is why you see a concerted effort, as Leon Panetta says, a 30-year war on North Africa in the Middle East. Crusades 2.0, because it is time, it is incumbent on God who is bringing about all of these affairs that the dead rise. And the whole world is mad because it has always been the rule, the customary rule in the last 6,000 years of kick the black man, steal from the black man, push the black man low and keep him down. But God himself has declared with an oath that it is time that the dead and God rise. And you cannot make God out to be a liar. So the devil is in full speed. He is fighting like hell and making a push into Africa to prevent the rise of the African continent. He is enacting all kinds of draconian laws against Islam in every European and American country. He is focusing his law enforcement officers even more with more brutality and more lawlessness in the black and urban communities because the devil is being made manifest. This is how you know that the devil is the devil. In the coming months, the coming weeks, in the coming years, the Muslim, the follower of Elijah Muhammad, is not going to have to tell you that the white man is the devil. You're going to know it. Because he's going to be giving you so much hell, personally, that you cannot deny it. This is the time that the man of sin is revealed. But right now, he's still somewhat lurking in the shadows. But Allah is pushing him out of the darkness into his marvelous light of truth for you to see. This devil is something else. And he cannot be trusted in any way, shape, form. Let us go to something. America, all you hear on TV is ISIS. ISIS this, ISIS that. We must bomb Syria. We must do this. We must do that. Brothers and sisters, this is a psyops operation to demonize Islam, to wage war on the Muslims, and to kill off as many blacks as you can. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about, and I say he has arrived. And I think it's on chapter 42, if I'm not mistaken. Let me get the book back again. Chapter 41. It's called The Two Worlds, The Two Camps. This is what he says. We'll read this. The world is divided into two camps, Islam and Christianity. Christianity, or we may say the white man, has been in power for 6,000 years. He has ruled independently since the birth of Moses, 4,000 years. Islam came to Israel through Moses, Israel rebelled, and Nimrod broke the civilization of Moses in the 17th century from Moses. So Allah, who came in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom praises are due forever, taught me. Confusion, dissatisfaction, rebelling, fighting, and warring have ever been in Israel's and Christianity's camp due to their desire to follow the very nature in which they were made, making mischief in the land and causing bloodshed. Stop right there. Is that not what's going on? On a daily basis, Israel is killing, bombing, and locking up Palestinians everywhere, right? And the real Israel, America, is doing the same thing. Israel represents the entirety of the white race. Everywhere they go. Look at Australia. Well, you say Australia is just bombing a few people. Well, maybe so. But how did she become Australia? The mass genocide of blacks. How did they become New Zealand? The mass genocide of blacks. Everywhere they go is genocide, deception, confusion, war, and bloodshed. What shall thou place in the earth except that which caused mischief and the shedding of blood? Huh? That's your Quran. This is the making of the devil. Yaqub knew what he was going to make. And the scientists knew that what he was going to make would destroy the peace of man. Right? And they were going to kill him because they did not want it. And so they searched the annals of time, down the wheel of time, and they looked and they said, we don't see any end to the bloodshed that this man is about to unleash on the black world. And so they looked again and they said, weep not, John, for one has been found. He was so humble, so docile, so bequeathed, and so beloved that they had overlooked him in their first look down the wheel of time. The book says he looked as though he was slain from the foundation of the earth. He was so meek and humble that they styled him in scripture as the Lamb of God. That's the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And not only was he able to expose the very foundation of this world and its nature, he was so endowed and blessed with the spirit and power of God that he could do something that not even the God scientists could do. He was able to take the book out of the hand of the man who sat on the throne. And not only that, he was able to unlock it. That shows you we have an awesome God and an awesome messenger. Even in the midst of all of this, the devil is trying to stay in the shadows, but he will not continue to lurk in the shadows because God's great truth is manifesting him. We are seeing the light of truth shine on this man of darkness. Nosferatu, you're being exposed. Count Dracula, you're being exposed. Daylight has come, and we're going to relegate you to the coffin because you got to die. That's the only way peace can be established, because you continue to go and you continue to go killing, robbing, maiming, stealing. And you are a parasite because this is the way you live in luxury while others die and suffer. Right? Prison house, as a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, while we're talking about this, let me drop this in too. Boycott Bank of America. Boycott Bank of America. She is the largest investor in prisons for profits. She is the largest beneficiary, one of the three largest beneficiaries of black enslavement in America. Boycott that bank, brothers and sisters. This is real. So I'll drop that tidbit of information on you as we're talking. But America, she creates her own boogeyman and then justifies herself to attack him. Brothers and sisters, listen to this, brothers and sisters.
Well, to discuss those stories a bit further, and I joined Mr. James Corbett, who is the editor of the CorbettReport.com, and he is joining us live now from Osaka. Mr. Corbett, thanks very much for joining us here on Press TV. Now, I'm trying to understand this coalition that has been formed to fight ISIL. It comes off as a bit hypocritical, does it not, considering many of these countries are at least accused of being complicit, at the least, in the very formation of ISIL to begin with?
Well, that's an extremely important point, and I think it goes to the core hypocrisy of what is going on here. And I think it would be very disingenuous to argue that these countries, and especially, of course, the United States, are somehow the neutral outside observers who are going to be able to form some sort of coalition against the very group that they helped train. And this goes back to as far as 2006, when ISIL was al-Qaeda in Iraq, and declassified documents that were published by the Washington Post confirmed that internal Pentagon documents actually referred to al-Qaeda in Iraq as a PSYOP operation that the Pentagon participated in, trying to build up this organization and make it seem more important than it really was in order to justify the American military ongoing, at that time, intervention in Iraq. Fast forward 6 years to 2012, and you had the then secret, but now confirmed, Jordanian military base that was being used by the U.S. and others to train some of the militants who went on to form ISIS and become part of that group. So again, we have this ongoing situation where the very groups that have been fostered, funded, equipped, trained, armed, and otherwise aided by these very countries are now being used as a justification for these countries to invade and to bomb Iraq and Syria.
So what exactly is the game plan then here? Is it just more war for war's sake?
Well, I think a lot of different players at the table have different reasons for wanting this type of intervention, and I think we can look at such things as the very important northern Syrian corridor that is a planned and proposed gas pipeline route up through Turkey and towards Europe as a way of feeding Arabian gas up into Europe as a way of getting around Gazprom's reliance, or the Europe's reliance on Gazprom, I should say. But, I mean, that's just one potential reason why this is a very geostrategically important region. So I think there are a lot of different interests and different players who have different reasons for wanting this intervention. But I think it all converges on this northern Syria and Iraq area.
And when it comes to the crucial issue of Syria, obviously, you know, the Syrian government as well as Russia have made it clear that they want consent and coordination with the Syrian government for anything that happens within Syria's borders against ISIL. Do you think that is likely to occur at any point?
Well, it seems extremely unlikely, and especially because this doesn't really seem like this is some sort of brand new strategy from this coalition that America seems to be forming right now. It seems like this is just a continuation or an actual bringing about of the plans for armed intervention in Syria that were being talked about last year but didn't actually happen. Well, it seems like they're happening now, and it's been explicitly mentioned by Obama that part of this is going to be continuing America's efforts to destabilize the Assad government. So I don't imagine there's going to be much consultation taking place.
And talking about this Frankenstein, if I might call it that, of ISIL, which the U.S. as well has been complicit in forming, because we've seen U.S. weapons, even pictures of U.S. weapons being used by these terrorists on the ground. How much of a risk now is this group to the U.S. itself?
Well, it certainly does pose various types of risks in the region, but as you say, I think we have to look at where this was, how it was founded and where it's been supplied and where the equipment and money has been flowing from. And of course, that raises the other side of the equation, which is if it does stop that type of, if that sort of outside support is stopped, does it really have the ability to function to control the area that it is now seeking to control? And I think that the answer is a resounding no. It couldn't have been built up, and I don't think it can be maintained or sustained without the outside support that it's been receiving from the U.S. and its allies in the Gulf region.
But then many people, if I may argue that point, Mr. Corbett, many people say that it doesn't even need outside funding anymore, considering it can extort people, it can kidnap people for ransom, et cetera, and has a lot of resources now at its fingertips and in the regions which it controls. So then how do you respond to that?
Well, I think that, first of all, the number of fighters that this group claims to have is a highly disputed number, and I think one that has been, again, blown up in the same way that al-Qaeda in Iraq was being blown up in 2006 to make it seem more important than it really was. I think there's been a lot of overinflation of some of the estimates of the fighters. And in terms of the ability for this group to maintain and sustain and fund itself through such things as extortion and ransom money and things like that, well, it's important to realize that, again, that can't take place without the cooperation of the governments which are giving them this ransom money. So, again, I think there's a way that we can see that a lot of this is still coming from one measure or another of outside support. And without that support, it would at least have a significantly degraded ability to do anything at all.
Okay, and on that note, we'll leave it there for now, but of course we do appreciate you speaking to us. That was Mr. James Corbett, who was speaking to us live via Skype from Osaka.
As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad tells us, and the Bible bears us witness, as a deceiver, this devil has no equal. He is the supreme deceiver, right? He will make falsehood appear right and right appear wrong. This is how the devil works. This is how he has been able to build up his world and maintain his world. He steals identities. What did they do? They stole the identity of the Kemetic people, right? They stole the identity of the black people, right? They stole the identity of the aboriginal people. They've stolen the land, the identities, the cultures, and everything, right? And then they make you look as though you are a burden on society, right? Now, you were doing just fine in your own land, right? You weren't worried about materialism. There wasn't a lot of war and disunity, right? Not until he came amongst you. But he'll put it all back on you. Think about all of this stuff that goes on today. As I was talking to one brother the other day, I said, think about this. From AMTV to the rest of them, they'll give you some good news. But then they'll give it to you from a Eurocentric mind. And then they'll talk about reverse racism. Now you think about all the hell that these people has put us through. All of the hell. And continue to put us through. And they'll say reverse racism. Isn't that crazy? Don't we have a reason to hate you? Don't we have a reason to feel the way we feel? If anybody should hate, it should be the so-called American Negro. But we don't do that. But if anybody should, it is us, and we have every right and every legitimacy to hate you. It's because not what you did, not just because of what you did, it's because what you're doing and what you're plotting on doing. Right? They continue to lurk in the shadows, and they sparse up the truth for you. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that when these two great points, Islam and the Caucasian and the Zionist entities, meet on the battlefield, this would mark the end of the white man's rule. This would mark the end of his world and his power. And we're seeing the great build-up and blow-up. Why are they building up for war in Africa, in the Middle East? If what we say doesn't hold water, why did the United States deploy the entire 101, the 101st Airborne soldiers to Liberia? Huh? Liberia's in Africa. Did you hear me? Why is Canada deploying troops there? Why is Germany, France? If what we said holds no water, then why are they not just deploying troops, but weaponry and logistical supplies? This is a buildup for something. Do you know that France deployed some warships? Spain and England have deployed warships. America and Russia, Russia's there too now, and China too, have deployed warships to the Gulf of Aden, the Persian Gulf, the Mediterranean, and all around that. Why is it going on? Because this is the time for the breaking of Anglo power. And all while America tells you, and she has these flags, Allahu Akbar. See these devils or something, they put on their little scripted beards, you know, with glue on it. And then they learn a little Arabic. And they go over there and they pretend as though they're Arabs. They tan the skin a little bit, right? And then you can see military, U.S. military tattoos on their arms. And they have their face wrapped up. So you can believe that these are so-called Muslims fighting over there. But listen what this man says. This is a former CIA agent who has this to say about the situation.
Now, the report's coming out that there are hundreds, perhaps, of Americans that are part of ISIL, ISIS, the Islamic State, whatever this armed group that's been grabbing territory in Iraq, that has been fighting the government in Syria. It's an interesting report because there are many that believe, and I include myself in the group, that the unit is a construct of the U.S. military intelligence, that this is a terrorist cell that was organized by the U.S. in order to destabilize Syria and perhaps other countries. They've even made a threat against Saudi Arabia, whether that's just to make them look like they are on a particular ideological plane or if it's an actual threat that is a proxy threat from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia, is we'll see as things go forward. But my belief is that there are Americans that are part of ISIL, ISIS, US, with the knowledge of the U.S. government, on assignment by the U.S. government. And I'm wondering if the ones being reported on now, like this Douglas MacArthur McCain, an interesting name, right, is as being portrayed, someone who was misled by their ideology and is joining with them and is going to come back and be a terrorist against the United States. If this group is all in that type, or if instead that there are perhaps 300 like that and then hundreds more U.S. regulars that are with the CIA or whatever military formations they have under the direction of U.S. intelligence that are a part of this. And it doesn't require that they're American nationals, of course, just that their paycheck is signed in Washington or Langley. If you look at the outcomes of every action that this group has taken, they facilitate actions that the United States has wanted to take, has declared that it wanted to take a number of times, has taken when it could, but that it can't get authority from the Security Council to approve because they violate the integrity and sovereignty of either Iraq and or Syria, and also would enable actions that violate a resolution that just passed the House of Representatives massively last week, the week before, that attempts to constrain, at least on paper, the president from making any more wars without specific authority from Congress. So, you know, it's no surprise to me that there are Americans in that unit. It would be a surprise to me if they're all dupes and, you know, unemployed kids who got duped to sucked into fight over there with a bunch of crazies. It wouldn't surprise me if you had a good portion of the units, including command and control, that were direct employees of the Pentagon and or Langley.
Yeah, yeah. Now you hear all of this, and they want to put it on Islam. And you see all of these extreme Christians on the internet and on TV demonizing Islam, right? And all of this stuff is the construct of Anglo-white or so-called Christian Zionism. So if we go to the heart of all of this and the terror elements and the fabrication of the terror, right, and the execution of the terror is being perpetrated by those who claim to fight the terror, then what does that say about the people in their religion since they want to put it on Islam? What does that say about them? What does that say about their mind? What does that say about their heart? They have no heart. They are sociopaths, hell-bent on supremacy at all costs. They don't care if they kill 100,000 children. They don't care if they starve an entire people. They don't care if they break up nations. These people are crazed. They have the same mind that was passed down to Yaqub from Jatu. If I can't rule, I'm going to kill everybody. That same mind. And I want to rule the way I want to rule. There is no second. There is no partner. There is no influence. I say and you do. Right? What do they have that policy? The for the new American century? And to prevent any rival or combination of rivals from being able to challenge American domination. This is their stated goal and policy. And so they're working hard to try to prevent the fall of America. But long before they worked, God laid the snare, the coffers are empty, and the empire is bankrupt. The more she fights, the more she becomes broken. The more she deploys, the more debt she takes on. The more she wars, the more she alienates and creates more enemies for her. And then she leaves her underbelly at home exposed for civil strife and civil war as they continue to cut education, continue to cut health care, continue to cut food aid, housing aid, and continue to take what little the poor have. This is building up for a revolution. And the devil is being pushed out of the shadows. He's no more lurking in the shadows of the dark. God is manifesting and pushing him out for all of the world to see, whether it's at home or abroad. Huh? You listening? She's being exposed. Even her European partners are having second thoughts. They laid up in bed with her for decades, right? And that gonorrhea, that economic gonorrhea, is starting to take effect on them, and they can't find no source of penicillin, so they want to kick the whore out of the bed with them. Listen to what they're saying here about Europe and America. All right?
The sooner we're done with sanctions, the better. That's the view of the man in charge of Germany's ties with Russia. Gerno Erler says that Berlin understands the restrictions against Moscow are backfiring. Let's get the thoughts now of John Lachlan, the Director of Studies at the Institute of Democracy and Cooperation in Paris. John, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us here on RT International. Over the weekend, Joe Biden, the American Vice President, openly admitted that the restrictions were forced upon Brussels. Let's have a quick listen to what the American VP had to say.
It is true. They did not want to do that. But again, it was America's leadership and the President of the United States insisting, oftentimes almost having to embarrass Europe to stand up.
John, do you think that's actually likely to have happened there?
Absolutely, and I congratulate you very much on giving prominence to this throwaway remark. I wonder whether Biden was supposed to say it or whether it just slipped out. Because, of course, here in Europe, people who are opponents of sanctions, such as the German official that you mentioned in your introduction, but also many people in France, are convinced that these sanctions were indeed forced upon Europe by the Americans. And we can see Biden admitting that. We can see Biden admitting, in other words, that the cost, the economic cost of the sanctions decided by America and forced upon Europe will be borne not by America, but by Europe. That's called putting up someone else to fight your own fight.
But what about leverage here, John? What kind of leverage does Washington have to force that upon Europe?
That, in a sense, I don't have an answer to that question, because I think that the problem is much deeper than just this issue of sanctions. I think that for many decades now, the European political class, and I use the word advisedly, I use the expression the European political class, has been under the influence of, or penetrated by, or controlled by, choose your choice of words, the Americans, to such an extent that it is not possible now, and has not been for a very long time, to talk about any independent European foreign policy, independent, that is, of the United States. On the contrary, European leaders now, for decades, have followed the Americans very, very closely indeed. The only blip came in 2003 when France and Germany refused to join the war in Iraq. Apart from that, they've been marching in lockstep.
John, if we can, sorry to jump in quickly, we're a bit low on time. If we can go back to the statements we heard today, if indeed Berlin is indeed feeling the pressure, what's driving it to actually maintain these restrictions?
It's not just Berlin, Rory. France is feeling the pressure. France has a gigantic contract. You know that you and your viewers know this very well, to deliver two helicopter carriers. If that contract doesn't come through, France will suffer gigantic financial loss. How do we explain it? We explain it only by the control which America, through various forms, exercises over the European political class. But as I say, this is a problem that goes way beyond the present issue of sanctions. It's a long, an ongoing problem that we've been faced with now for many decades.
Now, John, President Putin also called these sanctions utter foolishness at a major investment forum in Moscow. He says it only works, actually, to give an advantage to Russia's eastern partners. Do you think that could be worrying to Europe?
Yes, it is worrying. And indeed, sometimes I think that is the goal. The goal, after all, the American goal, you asked how America was achieving it. It's difficult for me to know exactly what pressure it exercises. But the goal is very clear. The goal is to tear the European continent in half and to put up a dividing line between Western Europe, between the NATO states on the one hand and Russia on the other. And the goal of doing that is to create a transatlantic free trade zone, a free trade treaty, and thereby a free trade economic and political transatlantic community. That's the geopolitical goal.
we are going to see NATO, which is already a transatlantic military organization, complemented and bolstered by a transatlantic free trade zone. And both Biden and Victoria Nuland, the Deputy Secretary of State, have started talking about a transatlantic community. And that's the political project. This Ukraine conflict is a conflict about the creation of the transatlantic political, economic, and military community. That's the end game here.
John Loughlin, the Director of Studies at the Institute of Democracy and Cooperation in Paris. Thank you very much indeed.
So he says the goal of America is to split Europe. Now she's splitting Africa. She's trying to split Africa. She's trying to split Asia. She's trying to split South and Central America and the Caribbean. She's doing this all over, right? That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that this American white man is the most wicked of all of them. This is what he says. This one here. And that's why God will deal with this one first, right? But remember, Muhammad taught us that there was still a Cold War. See, people was talking about the Cold War was over. But Muhammad said there is still a Cold War in Europe that must be reckoned with, right? This is what he said, that must be reckoned with, brothers and sisters. Now, let's see what the word reckon means, okay? We'll go to the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. The word reckon is to think or suppose something, to believe that something is true or possible, to calculate or guess, to have or form a general idea about, to think of as being something specified. So we know that a Cold War has been specified, and we must calculate what is to take place on the European continent, right? All of these things fall into play with what's going on in the Middle East and Africa, because once she is pushed there, America is trying to make herself where. Listen to me good. America is no fool. She is no fool whatsoever. She is trying to dig trenches. You see her deploying tanks and armaments to Europe, right? And she says 60% of her forces will be transferred to Asia. And the rest will be in the Mediterranean, Persian Gulf area in the Middle East, right? Well, that leaves her home exposed, right? And Muhammad says that when these wars break out, her military would be stretched to the breaking point, right? And her allies would forsake her when they see what's coming. You are hearing them saying that they're starting to question what America's planning and plotting. Europe, her own allies, East and West Germany. I was looking at Helmut Kohl, H-E-L-M-E-T, Kohl, K-O-L. K-O-H-L, Helmut Kohl, who was once the leader of Germany, the longest standing leader of Germany. And he and his political party are blasting Angela Merkel, who is the leader today, and her political party, because she's a spinoff of his. And he is more to Germany and Russia's liking, and she is a little bit, because they have some dirt on her, she is doing the bidding of America a little bit, right? What did he say? We are in a world that is falling. It will soon be going up in flames. In Berlin, Germany, the Cold War between the East and the West will soon erupt into a hot war. It will never be settled in peace. So we see the build up for war all over the world, but especially in the areas that's going to listen, the Middle East and North Africa, when it catches fire, you will see people running for the hill, because this thing is going to explode, brothers and sisters. It is not. And Europe knows she's in trouble, too, because she knows she has fornicated with the whore. And as I keep telling you, that venereal disease is getting hot, so it's destroying her economy also. Matter of fact, listen to this 1 minute clip, please.
Now, out in Europe, they are having a depression type of feel, and things out there are completely getting worse. What we are seeing is that manufacturing is slowing down, new orders are slowing down, and we see this throughout Europe, and we see youth unemployment, we see regular unemployment continually going up. The Eurozone business grew at the slowest rate this year in September, reflecting falling demand in the region where new orders were the weakest in almost a year. The PMI suggests that Eurozone economy remains stuck in a rut in the third quarter. Yes, because most of the countries are in a depression, some of them are in a recession, and some of them are heading in that direction. And this cannot be sustained. There's no way out of it. There's nothing these central bankers can do at this point in time. Well, there is one, and that is what they're doing right now, trying to start World War III.
You hear that? There's nothing they can do. There's no way out of this for them, period. And that's why they're fighting like hell all over the world. And America, she continues to move her forces to try to overcome this.
Well, it certainly isn't clear exactly what the aims are because we don't have a strategy, and I think that has been well discussed already. Even the president himself just recently has talked about how we've underestimated the enemy. We don't really know what we're doing. He pretty much said that. So without a strategy, it's hard to say what the goals are because goals drive strategy. But it seems like the fundamental goal from the U.S. perspective is to maintain a military footprint in the Middle East, in this area, and to continue what we've been trying to do, not we, but what the U.S. government has been trying to do, and that is to topple the Syrian regime and to create more opportunities for U.S. and Western influence in this part of the world, which they'll never talk about, and that, of course, is to feed the military manufacturing machine here in the United States. I mean, we are now in the situation of firing on people who are firing back at us with weapons we gave them. So from a military manufacturing logistics supply line type thing, this is a great thing. I mean, we're destroying stuff we sell, and they've got to buy new stuff. The U.S. government buys new stuff. It's all good for military manufacturers. That certainly is not anywhere close to a justification for any type of war. And in fact, this is what this is. I mean, the United States did not have and did not seek, as far as I can tell, permission of the Syrian government to bomb in Syrian territory, yet we did it. That's a clear violation of both Christian just war theory and international law.
You hear that? She says what America is doing is a clear violation of what they call a Christian just war theory. Now, how can you claim to be this so-called righteous, upstanding Christian when you're violating your own laws to seek permanent military bases and a permanent footprint in the Middle East? Something is up. And not just from Europe and the Middle East and North Africa that we played. America is preparing for war in Asia also because she knows prophecy, brothers and sisters. Listen to what is being said to you. Please.
There's very definitely an element inside the U.S. that is arguing that a war with China at some future point is almost inevitable because China is a rising power, becoming a formidable military power in the region, and the U.S. is static or, in some people's view, even declining. But some of our top military commanders here in the U.S., including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, have said that they reject the idea of inevitability of a conflict, and therefore they're attempting to build up the kind of closer military-to-military cooperative ties that would reduce the danger of a war breaking out. So, for example, there were major maneuvers that the U.S. led in the Philippines back several months ago, and for the first time, the Chinese PLA participated in those maneuvers. So there's moves in both directions. There's many people in China who believe that the whole underlying concept behind President Obama's Asia pivot is an encirclement and containment of China for an eventual conflict, and they view the U.S. doctrine of air-sea battle as a provocation, and I think there's very strong merit for thinking that that's an accurate viewpoint. There's elements of the air-sea battle policy that could involve preemptive strikes against Chinese territory, which not only would be a provocation for war, but would in some cases reduce the gap between conventional and nuclear conflict. So in November, on the sidelines of the APEC summit meeting, there is scheduled to be a meeting between President Obama and President Xi Jinping. And I think that's going to be an extremely important meeting because Susan Rice was just in Beijing for 3 days, about 2 weeks ago, and came back and said that the Chinese are very interested in areas of mutual cooperation. And in fact, there are clear indications that the Chinese are moving to build up economic cooperation with countries that they share the South China Sea and East China Sea with. Top officials from Vietnam were recently in Beijing, and the whole policy of the Chinese government since Xi Jinping came into power has been to build up economic cooperation, including a maritime Silk Road in partnership with countries of Southeast Asia, a Eurasian land bridge that would be cooperation with all of the countries extending from the Pacific Far East all the way across Eurasia into Western Europe. So I think the Chinese are clearly demonstrating that they are thinking in terms that are not war fighting, not provocative, and they're making some very concrete steps to de-escalate some of the disputes in the South and East China Sea. I think that there's a good prospect that there'll be a meeting between Xi Jinping and Prime Minister Abe of Japan also at that November APEC meeting. So I think that the war danger, while it may be there, coming largely from NATO and from the U.S. under Obama, being pushed back against both by major initiatives from China along the lines of cooperation with the BRICS countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. So there's no reason in the world why there should be any serious conflict involving China and the United States, except if the U.S. and Britain and other Western powers feel that their global dominance is threatened by the emergence of this new BRICS alliance of emerging very large economies that represent about half the population of the planet, half of the wealth, and half of the landmass of the planet. The BRICS plus other allied countries, India, Pakistan, South Korea, and also, of course, Iran, are all part of a new emerging arrangement that is the exact opposite of war provocation. So if the United States got on board with that new movement, then there's a very real prospect that the dangers of war, both vis-a-vis China and vis-a-vis Russia, would be virtually eliminated. And that's what I want to see happen.
And he said that's what he wants to see happen, but we know it can't happen. America wants supremacy, not just in Africa. She wants it globally. She wants to be the God of this day and time, but these are the days of Allah, and not the days of NATO, not the days of America, not the days of Great Britain. These are the days when God's will is made manifest, and he removes the world of the peacebreakers, right? And so we see that there's a great buildup. America says 60 to 65% of her warfighting material, her nuclear submarines, her aircraft carriers, her warplanes, right, her tanks, will be transitioned from the Middle East to Asia. That doesn't sound like a move towards peace to me, does it? It sounds like a buildup for war, as we see the buildup for war in the Near East, and we see the buildup for war in Europe. But Muhammad gives us the light, and we know how it's going to take place. Follow me for a second, okay? Listen to what he says, because I want you to pay close attention, all right? He says this on page 172. You do not have to worry much about whether or not America is coming out of Asia. Certainly America is coming out of Asia. The odds are against her staying there. She can't maintain because China is rising, right? And as China rises, just like with any planet, that has a strong gravitational pull in her sphere of influence, she's going to pull those who were once relying on America towards her, which is natural. And America does not want to cede power, and China is rising in power, so God put this yellow man to challenge this white man in power, so we see it going on, and this will take place after the Great War in North Africa, the Middle East, because we have that on page 72. And we go further on page 204 of The Fall of America when the messenger says, after the war, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. I want you to know that that which will be poured means it is the deprivation of you, America, of your ever getting back into power again to attack the nations of the earth. Now listen to the format that he puts here. Pay close attention to the format. He says, Europe will become one of the worst war areas of all the world, more dreadful than Vietnam and other places that you are planning on going into. So evidently, the European war is going to take place thereafter, right? And he goes further and says this. Asia, so there must be a war coming in Asia. Asia will look like child's play when compared to what is going to happen to Europe. Europe will be wasted. She will be a wasted, desolate land when that thermonuclear war takes place there, brothers and sisters. We flip over to page 231. Because I want you to see this in order, okay? Because we go from what's going on to the Middle East and North Africa, then we go to Asia because we know what's coming to Europe. Listen how he puts it in this term. Page 231, Fall of America. Many of you may think, and this is what that other guy was thinking, that if America stop her provocative actions, peace can be had. This is what he just said. But listen to what the answer that Muhammad gives to him. Many of you may think that if America ends her war in Asia, this will bring peace and prosperity to the people of America. Perhaps someday there may be a lull in the war, but not now. If America and Asia can find a way to bring about a cessation of the war between each other, this does not mean that peace and prosperity is assured, not at this time. There is still the Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia and in other parts of Europe. He's talking about Ukraine and stuff. Listen to what he says. To be reckoned with. Now listen to the format that he puts here in this sentence right here. This tells you how to look for these wars. He says, Europe will become a dreaded spot when America leaves Asia. Did you hear that? When America leaves Asia. It is true, as the prophets have predicted, that America must come out of Asia or be thrown out. And that's why Allah is allowing the rise of China, in a nutshell. I didn't mean to take up all of the time, but I'm going to let Brother Minister John take up this time, and he'll get a couple more minutes after that. But I wanted to lay this down. The messenger said we clean up as we go so that there would be no arguments after this. We have now pulled that lurking devil out of the shadows into God's marvelous light of manifestation. Let me bring in our dear brother, Brother Minister John Muhammad. I say unto you, my dear brother, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God who came in the person of one master, Quran Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah, and thank Allah for coming, raising up among you and I our beloved leader, teaching guide, most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. My beloved brothers and sisters, we are living at the end of one world and the beginning of a new world that we have never known. We, the black man and woman of America, we, the black people of the tribe of Shabazz, whom God left heaven to come, search, relocate, and he found us in the bottom of the beast. We, the Muslims, we, his chosen people, my beloved brothers and sisters, we are now coming into that marvelous light of Islam taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. These are the days of God in person, not in spirit, but in person. We, the Muslims and followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, stand in today in the clear sunshine. We see the dark crevice minds that the devil is lurking in, the minds of the so-called American Negro, lurking in the minds, lurking in their hearts. So oftentimes, rather than come to God, you come and run back to the devil, because the devil still have you bound and charmed in your mind and in your heart. But today you have heard the naked truth without clothes. You've heard the truth that will set you free. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that in the day when God make his appearance, after God have sent his representative, after God have commissioned his representative to come among his people and the world and denounce judgment to the entire world, and especially to America being number one, that God don't intend to bound you up someplace on earth again. He intends to bring you up, both root and branch. This is the order and the aim of Almighty God Allah in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. His chosen messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one whom he raised and sent and commissioned, protect and put his love and his protection all around him, beneath him, on all sides and above him. And my beloved brothers and sisters, the judgment, that dark mind of Satan, that dark mind Satan lurks in, he hides in the mind of man. He seeks to destroy man's mind from coming to that awesome God in the person of Master Farhad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. I say to you this day, America is in trouble. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that America is in trouble. Black brother, look what is happening to you and I. Throughout America, we're being shot down. We're being killed, ran over, in prison. Everything is being done to us. As the Bible tells us, dead bodies will lie in the street. Look at the black men and women bodies being shot, laying in the street for days and hours. Why? Because America, this man, this devil, this man of sin, is his nature, and he's forcing you now, brother and sister, to come over to your nature, which is righteousness, pureness. That's what God wants for you. He don't want killing for you. He wants life for you. He said, I come to give you life more abundantly. I come to give you that which you have never known. You have never known freedom. You have never known justice and equality. I come to give you that. And he is here giving us freedom, justice, and equality. So he offered to you today Islam. Islam. He offered it to you as a religion. He offered it to you to come into your security. Your security is in Islam. Your security is in righteousness. Allah, Master Farhad Muhammad, to whom praise is due forever. He is here for us in righteousness. We must shun the devil. And the Bible says, if you show the devil your side, what is your side? Your truth side. Truth. Truth will shame the devil. Truth will make the devil run from you. But evil, conniving, scheming, murdering will make the devil run
run into your heart, run into your mind. So then you pick up the devil's way of life. You kill your brother for nothing. You kill your brother for a hamburger. You kill your brother for a biscuit. You kill your brother for a girl. You kill your brother for what girl have the biggest butt. You kill your brother over foolishness. Why? Because you are living the life of Satan. You're living the life of the devil. You're living the life of that which God came to destroy. So you and I today, in order for us to come out from that world of evil, you have to change the wine that you are drinking. You have to change the civilization that you're in. You have to change the theology that you're wrapped up in. You have to change your mind in order to change your society. You got to change your mind. You must have a made-up mind for righteousness. You must have a made-up mind like God and his messenger. You must have a made-up mind for that which is good and wholesome for you. You must have a made-up mind to be a God. You must have a made-up mind to be a ruler. And God came to make us gods and rulers of the entire world, never to be the tail again. And my brothers and my sisters, I know time is the essence, so I must turn it back in the hands of Brother Minister Rashid Muhammad, as I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. And brothers and sisters, I have so many more clips that I want to play for you, but I know the time has been limited, and I just want you to come back to the next show to get more of this. And please listen, if it's something that you've heard that you don't understand, please go back and listen to the show. And if it's something that you've heard that you do understand, go back and listen to the show, because you always get something new out of this. Brothers and sisters, remember that we have a loving God and Savior who is not coming, but who has arrived and is with us in person. And we have a magnificent Lamb who has sacrificed everything for our redemption and salvation. Don't show that you don't appreciate it. Please show your love and appreciation for the God, his messenger, and the mighty, mighty nation of Islam. We'll see you Thursday. As-salamu alaykum.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad. Have a blessed day. That I like the moon I made.